Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after telling us this story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cited ayat from the created, from His created book. The created book of Allah, which is the universe around us. Because Allah has two books, the written book, which is the Holy Quran, and the created book, which is the universe and the nature around us. Who reads the written book of Allah, which is the Quran? Only believers. But who can see the created book of Allah, which is the universe around us? Everybody, believers and non-believers. So this book, using this book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proves His existence. Allah creates the universe and He created the brain. And just by thinking about the created book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using our brains, then we can discover that this universe has a creator and this universe must have a creator. Just like we said 2 weeks ago, that or 3 weeks ago, that imagine that a ship is going to leave India and arrive to New York without any captain, without any crew. Is that possible? It's impossible. Therefore, how can you imagine that the sun and the moon, which are more complicated ships, they will swim in the space and in such an accurate schedule, such an accurate movement without a crew and without a captain. So these kind of thinking that Allah wants us to think this way, so that we say there is no way, because you know, look at even the accuracy. How accurate is the time the sun arrives and leaves? It is scheduled, and the sun will never miss the scheduled time. The best airline in the universe, in this planet, in the whole world, the best airline cannot match the accuracy of the time of the sun. So this kind of ibadah, it's called the ibadah al-tafakkur, the ibadah of thinking about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, this ibadah, we Muslims abandoned this ibadah. We are not thinking, we are not practicing the ibadah. It's not ibadah by the body, it's ibadah by the what? By the brain. It is ibadah of the brain. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this brain. Not Allah created the brain mainly not for accounting and not for engineering and not for medical business. Mainly the main job of the brain is to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to know Allah. And the secondary purpose for creating the brain is to do the accounting and to do the engineering and to do the medical business. But the main job of the brain is to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by observing His creation. And this ibadah makes the heart very soft, because the human being will feel how powerful and how creative and how, you know, how beautiful is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all, everyone can read, everyone can practice this ibadah. It doesn't require any kind of education or anything like that, just by looking at the universe around us. And actually, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he became a prophet, when the revelations came to him in the cave of Hira. If you look at Cave Hira, if you ever go to Mecca and visit Cave Hira is in a very high place in the mountain. And it takes a very strong young man, a very good effort to reach to Ghar Hira. But once you reach to Ghar Hira and you look around you, you see beautiful universe, beautiful nature around you. So you will understand why did Prophet Muhammad pick this place in particular. Prophet Muhammad, before he became a prophet, when he didn't have the knowledge of who is Allah, used to go there and look around the universe and see this universe and think, practice this ibadah. The ibadah of thinking about the beautiful universe, the skies, the mountains, the heavens. And he would spend days and days in the cave making this ibadah, thinking about Allah and thinking who is Allah. And every time he gets frustrated and he cries and he says, "Oh Allah, I know you are not these idols. I know you are not this Isa, Jesus, peace be upon him. I know you are not this and the fire that the Persian people are worshipping. I know you are not the moon. I know you are not the sun. Who are you? Please tell me, guide me to you. Tell me how can I worship you?" So this kind of ibadah was practiced by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam before the revelation came to him. And we still encourage to practice this ibadah so that it softens our heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran invites us to practice this ibadah. And in Surah Yasin, starting from verse 33, Allah is quoting some of the ayat of the universe. Allah is getting our attention to look at the universe around us. And to practice this ibadah, let's look at several items. Let's practice this ibadah today, as it is explained in Surah Yasin. Part of this ibadah is explained in Surah Yasin, starting from verse 33 all the way to verse 44. From 33 to 44, Allah is getting our attention, 11 ayat, pulling our attention to the ayat of the universe, to the size of the universe that He has created. Now, let's think about it. First of all, the creation. How did the creation start? And by thinking about that, we recognize the name of Allah, which is Al-Awwal. The name of Allah, which is Al-Awwal, means the first, that no one was before. He was the first, no one was before, and He is the last, no one is after. So by thinking about how the creation started, we know that Allah, we can understand the name of Allah, Al-Awwal, the first. The universe, Prophet, a man came, a group from Yemen came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and asked him, how did this creation start? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, it was Allah alone. Nobody existed or no other being existed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was Allah alone. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started creation. So He created the soil on Saturday, and He created the mountains on Sunday. He created the planets on Monday, and He created the light on Wednesday, and He created the animals on Thursday, and then He created Adam after Asr of Friday. And this is the after Asr of Friday. If you pray during the time of the creation of Adam, after Asr of Friday, this is called Sa'at al-Istijaba. The hour that if you make prayer to Allah, Allah will accept your prayer and will not let you down about your prayer. This is how the universe started. Now, think about the end of the universe to feel how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so powerful, and to understand the other name of Allah, which is the last. The last, no one is after. Allah is the last and no one is after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that the whole universe would be destroyed by just one blow of the trumpet, by one of His angels, which is Israfil. This is how strong is this universe. This is how much it takes to destroy this whole big universe. Just one blow in the trumpet. That's it. The entire universe is gone by one blow of one of the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, as it was narrated by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the hadith, Prophet Muhammad said that after this blow, everybody will be dead, with the exception of Jibreel, Israfil, Mikael, and the angel of death. Those four angels will not die as a result of this blow. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to talk to the angel of death and say, who is alive? The angel of death is going, and of course Allah knows who is alive. The angel of death is going to reply and say, you're a slave, the angel of death, and Jibreel, and Mikael, and Israfil. Allah will tell him, go take the soul of Jibreel. So Jibreel dies. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to address the angel of death, who is still alive? Then he's going to say, Israfil, Mikael, and you're a slave, the angel of death. He says, go take the soul of Israfil. And then the same question again, go take the soul of Mikael. And then Allah will ask him the same question again. Then he's going to reply and say, only your poor slave, the angel of death. You and the poor slave, the angel of death, exist. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to tell the angel of death, take your own soul. And then there will be no other being existing on this universe except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask the question that was recited in the Quran, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask the question in the whole universe, who is the only king today? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies, only to Allah, the one, the very mighty, the very powerful, the only one. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا ظُلْمَ الْيَوْمِ, no more injustice. Injustices used to take place. Like if you look around you, you see all kinds of injustices. From that point forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares, لَا ظُلْمَ الْيَوْمِ, no more injustice. That is the end of the injustice business. Because everything is in my hand. When there are kings beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get all kinds of injustice. Look around you. But when Allah is the only king, you don't get any kind of injustice And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say. And this demonstrates the other name of Allah, which is the last. Now let's think about the heavens, which is the third part we think about. Do you know that the sun is in continuous nuclear interaction? And every second of the sun, there is 650 million tons of hydrogen interacting with 650 million tons of oxygen, producing 27 million degrees Celsius temperature, and produces 400 trillion watts every second. 400 trillion watts every second. That is how much energy is coming out of the sun. This is the sun. And do you know that the volume of the sun is 1,200,000 times the volume of the earth? So the sun volume and mass is 1,200,000 times the volume of the earth. And the distance between us and the sun is 93 million miles. 93 million miles. And it moves around the universe with a distance in 1 second. The sun moves in a distance in 1 second equal to the distance of 500 walking years of walking distance of a human being. Just in 1 second, the sun will move a distance equal to 500 years of walking distance of a human being. And do you know that if we look at who are we relative to this, the creation of Allah, we might want to think, who are we relative to the creation of Allah? Look, we say the science tells us that this galaxy that we live in has, this galaxy, not this galaxy, the sun and the planets, the 9, 10 planets that follow the sun, including the earth, which is that we live in, is part of the galaxy. The galaxy that we live in has 2 billion stars. The sun is one of them. So the sun is one star out of 2 billion stars in our galaxy. This is just our galaxy. Okay? So this is the sun. And our galaxy is one galaxy, and the universe, and so far scientists have discovered 100,000 million other galaxies. 100,000 million other galaxies have been discovered. Our galaxy is one of them. And inside our galaxy, we have 2 billion stars. The sun is one of them. See how great and magnificent is the creation of Allah? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they have not given Allah they have not recognized Allah the way He should be recognized. They did not appreciate the power of Allah the way it should be appreciated. Look how much power Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And look at the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says that the volume of the earth relative to the first heaven, because Allah has created 7 heavens, relative to the first heaven is like a small ring thrown into the desert. This is how much is the earth relative to the first heaven. And then Allah says, the volume or the size of the first heaven relative to the second heaven is like a ring thrown in the desert. And then He says that the size of the third heaven relative to the fourth heaven is like a ring thrown in the desert. And He keeps doing that until He says the size of the seventh heaven relative to the throne of Allah is like a ring thrown in the desert. And He stopped. Because what is after the throne of Allah? So if we say the first layer is the first heaven, the second layer is the second heaven, and you keep going, and then the last layer that goes around is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what is after that? Is Allah Himself. Then when it comes to Allah, silence. Because we cannot think of Allah, but we can think of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do you know that, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said here in Surah Yaseen, that the sky is already, the entire sky is dark and black. The light that we get, that you see around us, is not actually the light. It is just a reflection of the light on the atmosphere. So if we don't have air, for example, if you go to the moon, when it is daytime, you look at the sky is black and dark. Even during the daytime. How come? Because everything is dark. You don't have enough light to make this sky, light all the time. So this is because of the atmosphere, the reflection of the light on the atmosphere is the one that is making the atmosphere look like the daytime. And just by observing these things, Our eyes performing worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the way our eyes should worship Allah, by looking at these things. Now, let's look at the earth itself. Let's look at the... Or before we look at the earth, do you know that the closest star to us, before we go down to earth, let's stay in the sky for a minute. The closest star to us is 4 light years away from us. This is the closest star after the sun. The closest star in our galaxy to us is four light years. 4 light years. Now the speed of light is 186,000 miles per second, which means that the closest star to us is 104 million, million miles away from Earth. This is just the closest star in our galaxy. 104 million, million miles. Just imagine, the numbers becomes, who are we? Who are we? We are like an ant in the middle of infinity space. You know, who are we that we are disobeying Allah who created everything? Who are we that we are saying, pick and choose from the orders of Allah? I like this order, I will practice it. I don't like this order, I will not practice it. Who are we? Look at the volume of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to feel that we are nothing, we are zero compared to infinity. Now, why did Allah pick the earth so that we live on? The first planet from the sun, let's look at the other planets and see how powerful is the creation of Allah. The first planet away from the sun, which is called the planet of Atarid. What's the English name of this? Atarid, the first planet? No, huh? Yes. Mercury? Yes, Atarid, which is Mercury. This planet, the day it rotates around itself very slowly, so that one day over there is 1 year. And because it rotates around itself very slowly, the half that is facing the sun, the temperature there is 700 degrees Celsius. And the other half, which is dark, the temperature is there is negative 150 degrees Celsius. Can we live there? No. So Allah did not send Adam down into this planet. Now, the other planet, which is Al-Marikh. Al-Marikh is Mars. And Mars. And it's very close to us. They call it the red planet. Why? Because it's full of dust, red dust. So it is the wind speed on this planet is 200 miles per hour, and it's continuous wind and dust all day long. You can't live on it, and it doesn't have any kind of water, and it has volcanoes. The height of each volcano is 90,000. The height of each volcano is 90,000 feet. That's the height of each volcano. That is one of the planets that Allah could give. Al-Mushtara, which is right after Mars. What would be that in English? Which is the planet right after Mars. It weighs as much as all the planets combined. The gravity in this planet is 5,000 as much the gravity of the Earth. So basically, you cannot lift your finger there. Because your finger will weigh 5,000 times as much as it is now. So you cannot lift a finger there. And it has volcanoes. The volcanoes are erupting and throwing out 10 tons of silver, of liquid silver, every second. And because of these, and it has so many volcanoes that the planet, you know, it changes itself every certain amount of times. That the inside of the planet will go outside and the outside will go inside because of these volcanoes. Moving the material on this planet up and down. And now if we think about this, can we have any doubt about the hellfire? Just think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the weather in hellfire is what? Good, nice weather or horrible weather? What is the weather in hellfire? Horrible weather. That Allah says the hellfire has burning, blazing temperature, you know, you're burning, and there's liquid, you drink liquid boiling material and all of that. Now, if you want to see the hellfire, all you have to do is just to study this planet. Really. And when Allah says in Surah Al-Mursalat that one spark of hellfire is as much as a big, huge palace. This is one spark out of hellfire. Now, go look there. The one spark from one of the volcanoes in this planet is 10 tons of liquid silver, which is as much as the material used in a big palace. So you can easily see the description of hellfire that Allah described on this planet. All you have to do is just go. You want to go, you want to have a field trip to hellfire? You don't have to die. All you have to do is just travel to this planet. And you will see hellfire right there. So why do we deny the creation of hellfire? If there is already a hellfire there, all it takes is Allah to move you from here to there. Of course, this is not the hellfire. But what I'm saying is that Allah is creating a sample of hellfire so that we can see what is happening. And then the last two planets, Pluto and Neptune, the last two planets, they are extremely cold and they are all covered with ice all year round. And it's impossible to live in. This is another kind of torture in hellfire. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that hellfire is not only fire, but it's also very, very cold ice. And the jinn are going to be tortured because they are created from fire, so they are going to be tortured by this very, very, very cold ice. So if you want to see this part of hellfire that is very, very cold, all you have to do is just travel to these two planets. And look with your own eyes and you can see the part of hellfire which is going to be very, very cold. And you go to the other planet, you see the part of hellfire that is very, very, very hot. Both existed. And all of that is in the surrounding around us. Now, let's look at the earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created and wonder about the power that Allah has put in the earth. What do we throw on earth? We throw on earth trash and we throw dead bodies, right? That's what we put on earth, trash and dead bodies. And what do we get out of earth? Fruits. Very sweet, very tasty fruits. And we put one seed, one small seed on earth, and it comes out a big tree full of fruits. Subhanallah. Who did that? The heart of the believer. Now, for the people who have hard hearts, like rock, says, what is the big deal? The sky is raining. It rains every day. What's the big deal? The tree? Well, I've seen tons of trees. What is the big deal? What is the big deal? And every time they hear about these things, they say, what is the big deal? You know the kuffar who have traveled, the astronomers, kuffar astronomers who traveled to the outside space, they came back and they say, if you guys think that Allah has created this huge universe just for the human beings or just for Earth, then you guys are making a big mistake. Because the earth is nothing compared to that universe. And this would be a big, big, big waste. It's a big, big, huge waste for Allah to create this earth, to create this huge universe just because of this earth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, have created more than us. He created jinn and angels and He has created other creations that need this space probably. But it's not only us that are the only creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, look at the actual plants themselves. You have two similar seeds. You put them in the same soil and you water them from the same water. It comes out two different kinds of the same fruit. Two different kinds of mangoes, two different kinds of apples. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pulling our attention to that in the Quran by saying, you put it in the same soil, right next to each other, you give it the same water, it comes out two different kinds. Who chose that this would be from a different kind? This fruit is from a different, same kind, but a different taste. Who chose to change the taste? Who chose to change the properties of this fruit on this fruit? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the equilibrium that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created on earth. If the earth is 25% closer to the sun, it will be hellfire and it will burn. And if the earth is 25% further away from the sun, we will freeze to death. So we'll either burn to death or freeze to death. So who tuned the earth to be in this exact position that is suitable for our life? Look at the earth crust. The scholars say if the earth crust is 10 feet thicker than what it is today, it is going to absorb all the oxygen on earth and we're going to die. And if the moon is a little bit closer to the earth, then we are going to be flooded by the oceans. Because of the gravity of the moon, we'll pull the water up and we will be flooded from the ocean. And if the moon is a little bit further away from the earth, we will have a drought. Because the water will sink so deep that we will not be able to reach it. So who put the moon in its exact position where the water is accessible? It doesn't drown us and it doesn't sink where we can't get it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Tabarak, yes. Yeah, that's a very good point. Muhammad is bringing a very good point that if the sun moves just 20 feet closer to its current location, then the snow on Earth will, you know, we have a lot of snow on the North and South Pole, is going to melt. And if the snow melts, then the entire Earth will be what? Flooded with water. We live in the universe of Allah. And we are nothing. And we are nothing compared to the creation of Allah. Not compared to Allah. We are not comparing ourselves to Allah. No, 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 no. We are just comparing ourselves to other creations of Allah. Other creations of Allah. And we are nothing compared to the other creation of Allah. We are nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَخَلْقُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَشَدُّ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ. The creations of heaven and earth is way, way much more complicated and challenging than the creation of the human beings. Yet, if we look into our own existence, our heart, we have secrets of Allah and our own bodies that we have no idea how it works. Until today, the scholars, the scientists, have no idea how the realization happened in the brain. You realize things. When you hear words, you realize the words. When you see images, you realize the images. Until today, the scholars and scientists have no idea how this is happening in the brain. We have secrets in this little skull, that we have trillions, billions of these skulls around. We have secrets that we have no idea how it's being working. We don't know how the food is being digested in our stomach, and we don't control it. We don't know how the blood, you know, is circulating. We have no control over that. We know, you know, how it is being distributed, how it is being filtered from all this waste material. Waste material goes number one and number two, and useful material is retained. All these blessings into our own bodies, we have miracles. Now, if you go outside of our own bodies, you see even more miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. You know, the atmosphere around us, if it is a little bit thinner, then the bodies of the bodies coming from outside, the burning bodies that coming from outside, what is the name of these burning bodies that are thrown at Earth from the outside? In Niyazik, what's the name? Asteroids. The asteroids are going to burn the Earth if the atmosphere is thinner than what it is right now. But with this exact thickness of atmosphere, it is enough to burn them before they arrive to the Earth. And before we even see them. They burn far away from us so that they don't spoil our life. And if the gravity of the Earth is less than what it is now, the atmosphere and the water on the Earth will escape. So we have enough gravity to keep the atmosphere and the water. And if the gravity of the Earth is a little bit higher than what it is now, then we will die because of the air pressure. If the gravity of the Earth increases, then the air pressure will increase and we will die. Not only we and all other animals will die because of the air pressure. So by thinking about all of these things, we can, you know, appreciate the power and the might and the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we have seen the part that has to do with the materialistic creation. Now let's look at the other part which has to do with the knowledge, right? Just think of a database that is keeping track of every planet, that is keeping track of every particle on this planet, that is keeping track of every human being who lives on this planet, that is keeping track of every animal, every insect, and every amoeba, and every bacteria, and every virus that lives on this planet. Think of a database that is keeping track of every leaf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran to show us how powerful is His knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if a leaf in the middle of the jungle, in the middle of the dark night, is falling from a tree, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows where this leaf is falling from,
Where did it come from? Where is it going to? What speed it is falling to? And Allah knows everything and the very atomic detail about this leaf that is falling down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He knows it. Not only that He knows it, but He also has it written. Just think of this huge, incredible database that which is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This incredible database. How much database you need to keep track of everything? Just think of every one of us having a little thought in his or her brain. This thought Allah knows about. And it's recorded in the book of knowledge of Allah. And this is as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. We will stop inshallah here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Somebody crashed their van there. When trying to park, they crashed their van. The people from the fire department, they are trying to get it out. So I think we should go and help them.
Okay.
There's a gas leak.
We'll go and help inshallah outside in the accident. Assalamu alaikum.
There's a gas leak also there.